Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, The Promise of the Resurrection. The Promise of the Resurrection. Now, one of the things that just as I studied God's Word, and as God had to revisit me, you know where he visits me? Right there, those of you who have been to my home, I have a little office in the back. And that's where my computer is, my printer, and all these things. And he meets me right there. And as I start reading the scriptures and I start preparing for the messages on Sunday, he starts to download. He starts to speak to me. And one of the things that, as I prepared this message, the promise of the resurrection, is something that was so profound. If you read the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, there was a proclamation. There was a prophetic voice. There was an utterance given by the prophets of old. And you can look at Isaiah and many of the big prophets, and then even the little prophets, where they prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. So we understood that that is called the first advent, meaning the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you look at that era, when you look at that their generation, number one, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have email, Facebook or YouTube, right? The only way they communicate with each other is face-to-face, or they would travel miles to go share something with family or friends, okay? So information was kind of like at a turtle pace. And so we see that the two books or the two eras, you got the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, there was a gap of 400 years in between that. So 400 years after Malachi was written, then we see the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we start reading the life of Jesus, how he was born in Bethlehem. And we know the Christmas story. We're here because of the Christmas season. We get that. We understand that. But what's so profound now is back then, only the Jews had the Torah. The Torah is the Old Testament. It wasn't given to the common people. So in other words, there was no born-again church. There was no believers other than the law that was given from Moses to the Jews, to the Israelites. They're the only ones that had the knowledge of Christ coming. But they never shared it. We had to read it thousands of years later in scrolls that were found. But they weren't evangelizing. They weren't telling anyone that Jesus is coming. So all these years had gone by, and it was like silent. God was silent for almost 400 years. But in our day and time, in our generation, Revelation said that they would see one of, I believe it's the Antichrist that will get wounded, and everyone will see two of them die that are following the beast, and the whole world will see them at once. Well, how can that be? Well, we have satellite now, right? We know what's going on around the world in an instant, in a second. So what's different in the Old Testament is more profound than the New Testament, because now we who are the born again church, God has given us the good news of the promise of the resurrection. And when I say the promise of the resurrection, not so much that Jesus died and rose again, is our resurrection. Can I get amen? It's all about us now. It's about the church. And so soon and very soon, God has already sent out a proclamation around the world. And for 2,000 years now, the believer, the bride of Christ, us, born again, regenerated, we're born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We now know he's coming back again. Where in the Old Testament, no one knew he was going to be born except the Jews, and they didn't share it with nobody. They wrote it down, but they didn't even believe it when he came. When he came, the Bible says they knew him not. But for us, we are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because he's soon to come. He has instilled that. He has, as soon as we became born again, it was like it was imputed in us. It was like a proclamation written in our heart that he's coming back for us. Because we're not going to stay in this natural state. Can I get amen? Amen? This body that we live in is not made to live forever. There's a timeline in it. For some, we can live to 90. Praise God. My dad, he lived to 96. But my mom didn't. She passed away at 62. And so we don't know how long we'll be here on this earth, but we do know one thing. When Jesus comes, he's coming for the dead that have passed away, and he's coming for those who are still alive and remain. And we get this. We know this. We have assurance through the scripture. So let's go back and just relive the scriptures so that we can have confidence when we leave here that guess what? We too will be resurrected. Amen? Now, our soul and spirit got resurrected from a dead spiritual state. I get that. We were dead in transgressions and sins. And then Jesus made us come alive, right? We came alive unto God through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's having that new resurrected body like his. That's what I'm looking forward to. How many are looking forward to that? Amen. One. Oh, I'm glad you are. So we got one in the crowd that's looking for that new body. Amen. Praise God. So let's get to the scriptures. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 2. And let's just read 19 through 21. And then we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen. And it reads, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. So they had no clue. These Jews had no clue. They thought that he was going to somehow have an army and destroy the temple physically, and that it would be rebuilt like a quick flip, a renovation. You know, in real estate, they do what's called a flip. They thought he was going to flip the temple in 3 days. He was talking about his body. He was talking about the resurrection. So let's look at these biblical principles and then just say, God, help me understand these things because they're about to take place. Now, as a little tidbit here, many messianic scholars believe that this coming in 2022, the Feast of Trumpets is going, it's a brand new Shemitah cycle. I mean, 7 years. And many believe that it could be the beginning of the tribulation because it could only begin on a beginning of a Shemitah cycle. So we'll see. No one's setting dates, but it's clear that this brand new Shemitah will start on the Feast of Trumpets. And we see things lining up already. We see, man, look at the earthquakes. Look at the disasters. Look at the plagues. Jesus talked about it before he comes. We're going to see all these things. So is that tribulation period around the corner? I don't know. But it looks like it could be. I'm just saying, It looks like it could be. I'm not saying 100% that it is, but I can only go by what Jesus said. We would see these things before he returns. So let's look at this. The first resurrection. Jesus promised his resurrection. Amen. And so saints, Jesus promised he would rise again. Jesus told his disciples he would be handed over to the Gentiles and that they would be the ones to crucify him. Look what it says right here. Jesus said this in Matthew 20. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. You got to remember, Jesus had no fault or sin in him. He committed no sin. He committed no robbery. He committed nothing. And yet, they were finding ways to condemn him and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And on the third day, he will rise again. Wow. Praise God. On the third day, he will rise again. And so, saints, the resurrection promises of Jesus come to the students of the Word. If you're in your Word, you will understand these things. And it comes in different ways depending on which gospel one is read. So there's many translations. I like the New King James. That's what I most of the time, King James. I have a tongue-twisting problem with the theeth and the thou-eth and the do-eth and the know-eth and the go-eth and the fro-eth. So I like it a little more simpler. Amen? Can I get amen on that one? And so, for example, in Matthew, there is a significant focus on the cost of discipleship and laying down one's life. So, remember our Christmas service and our beautiful children were up here singing Silent Night, right? Okay, that was the first advent, meaning he told everyone, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that he would come be born in a manger in Bethlehem, right? So, but he came, Jesus first came as the suffering Messiah. He came to suffer. Yes, he was a cute little baby, and he was probably a wonderful kid. We have no recollection except that when he was 12, he was teaching in the temple. He was teaching the scribes and Pharisees. Man, they were like, whoa, this guy got it going on, this little kid. Just imagine a little 12-year-old speaking like an educator, someone that was filled with knowledge and wisdom, quoting scripture from their Tanakh and from their Torah. Wow. Isn't that something? Because they didn't understand who was in the midst of them. It was the Word. The Word himself was in the midst of him. The Word of God was right there as a 12-year-old in front of them. But let's go a little further in Matthew here. Let's look at this for a moment. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Now, you got to remember, back then they didn't have movies. They didn't have Netflix. They didn't have sci-fi. You know, so saying something like this is like beyond their comprehension. Because there's movies today that you can go through walls, disappear, fly in the air, and wow, it looks real. But we know it's not real, right? But to be killed and be raised the third day, some of them mocked God, speaking that these things were kind of somewhat blasphemous. Look at verse 22 here. Then Peter took him aside and began to this is Peter. Oh, scaredy cat Peter. This guy would find Peter putting his probably 12-inch foot in his mouth so many times. And Jesus had to deal with him. Look how Jesus dealt with him. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." In other words, Peter was going to save the day. Ain't no one going to get. You can't touch that. Remember that song? You can't touch this. You know, he stood. No one's going to touch you, Jesus. And well, look how Jesus had to deal with him. But he turned aside and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So he didn't have any spiritual, intellectual knowledge. He was in the flesh, and God did not reveal that to him. You see, Matthew was helping Jewish readers at the time to understand that Jesus was the suffering servant who bore the sins of the world. Amen? We understand that. And the resurrection of Jesus is understandable when viewed in the light of his crucifixion. I remember as a kid when I first saw, I think it was called The King of Kings. First time I saw the crucifixion, it startled me, because when you watch the story, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything to deserve that. And if you look at that in the natural, some would cry, say, "Man, that man didn't do anything." But he had to die, and he laid down his life to do it. It provides insight to Peter's sermon in the book of Acts, where he described Jesus' suffering to the gathered Jews. Remember, in the upper room, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, there were thousands down below mocking the people up in the upper room because they heard him speak in tongues, and it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, and they thought that they were drunk with wine. Well, little did they know, they were drunk with the new wine. Hallelujah, the new wine. The new wine was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that came upon them. And Peter had to come down and preach that very first sermon of repentance. So his suffering and subsequent resurrection caused them to confess him as Lord. Because after he explained, it was you, and there was a lot of Gentiles mixed with the Jews. It was you that crucified Christ. A conviction came on them. And so they said, "What must we do?" And what did Peter say? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins." And that means forgiveness. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." That's in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. And so it provides an insight. So now we have to understand this right here. Jesus willingly laid down his life. He laid it down. No one took it. You may think, oh, he got apprehended for no cause, but guess what? It was all God's plan. God had already planned his life, his birth, his life, and his death. All done by the Father. Wow. Just imagine the mind behind that. We would have never thought of something like that to do. Just imagine if you have your firstborn male son. Just think about that. You have a son, and then God comes to visit you and says, "We need to sacrifice him for the sins of the world." I think that would break everybody's heart in here, wouldn't it? It'd break my heart. That's my only son. So just imagine God the Father sending his son. How it broke his heart when he had to be nailed for our sins, our iniquities. Look what it says right here in John. "Therefore my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again." Look at this. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Wow. See, it was all God's perfect plan for you and I. God had this plan so chiseled out in stone, it was already forever settled in heaven. It was before the foundation of the world that God already slew the Lamb of God for us. Before he spoke the whole entire universe into existence. This is how powerful God is. He is powerful. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. My goodness. And he's omnipresent. He fills all space. He's everywhere at once. When you understand who we are serving, if you understand who our God is, if you understand that we are now his children, grafted in by faith, we have everything that we have on this earth to live a good, wholesome life, a godly life, to honor him as we await for his return. I can't wait. Listen, I said, God, I don't know how long you're going to have me pastoring. This has been 15 years. I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know who brings tomorrow. Can I get amen? I know who brings tomorrow. So yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. He only gives us today, one day at a time. So today I'm here, praise God, and you're here because God loves you. He loves us, and he wants the best for us. And so Isaiah prophesied some 800 years before it happened that Jesus was like a lamb led to the slaughter. Look at this right up here. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shearers and silent. So he opened not his mouth. Man, just knowing that, saints of God, after taking all the punishment, and it was all false, we all know that, he didn't open up his mouth because I'm going to get you guys one day. You know how we sometimes want to get revengeful? Oh, yeah, you wait and see. No, he didn't do that. You know what his last words were before he said, Father, I give you my spirit, and he gave up his spirit? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you forgive someone when someone mocks you? Can you forgive someone when they slander your name? When someone betrays you, can you forgive them? Well, that's what God is trying to teach us through lessons of life, that we will learn to love him and to be molded and shaped. Are we going to have a perfect life down here? No. But we are being groomed for perfection. Because when we are finally transformed, we will be perfect like him. Praise God. So saints, the great love of Jesus was on display at Calvary. No one coerced him to lay down his life. He wasn't manipulated. He wasn't duped. He wasn't deceived. It was all God's plan. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul drew a clear contrast between Jesus and Adam. You see, Adam was the first to come into this world. It was called paradise. But both of them, Adam and Eve, they failed the litmus test. They failed. And they failed miserably. And so there's no one to blame but those two in the garden. When I see them up, I go, what made you want to receive that lie from the snake? I don't know. We may have that question. Or we'll probably all just be happy to be there in heaven. I don't know. So in the garden, Adam willingly disobeyed and chose his own way with no consideration of others. He didn't. Adam sought his own advantage, but not so with Jesus. Look how Paul wrote this in Romans. Look at this for our understanding. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. He's referring to Adam. Resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So Adam, condemnation came on mankind. We were condemned now. We were sentenced to death because of sin. But Jesus came to set us free from that condemnation. This is why we need to walk around as we wait for the Lord to come. Not walk around with any condemnation anymore. We need to walk around free in Christ. Can I get amen? We're free in Christ. Listen, all of our faults and failures are under the blood. I hope you know that. And what I love about God, he gives us a way of escape. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the provision God has given the church. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So we're the recipients of Adam and Eve. Look at this. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So now, I need you to catch this. When we're walking around here on this planet, as believers, born again, we're all believers, born again. When God looks down, you know what I love about it? He doesn't see our sin no more. Guess what he sees? He sees the blood that was imputed upon us by faith. And so now, today, right now, we can stand righteous before God. Not that we boast about it. There's nothing we can boast about it. There's nothing we can say, oh God, I deserve this. No, none of us deserve this great gift. But now he looks down upon us as the righteousness of Christ has been placed upon us. So you and I, we may still look at each other as sinners. Oh man, I know you. I know all about you. But God takes a different position. I see no sin because my son has covered you. He has washed you in his blood. So don't let the enemy, I don't care what you're going through, don't let the enemy dupe you and put condemnation on you. Don't let the enemy say, well, you know what? Look at you now, and look at this, and look at that situation. Don't let the enemy lie to you. He wants to keep you in a box. He wants to keep your mindset always, man, God, am I doing the right thing or not? No, we walk by faith and not by sight. How many can believe that? We let God lead us and guide us. He will chart our course. And he has a beautiful plan for us. If we only just trust him and obey him and love him, he will show us great and mighty things. Even through the ugliest of times. I've been through some ugly times. You've only heard a few things up here. There's some things I won't share up here. Because they were real ugly, but yet God was there. He was there to save my bacon. Oh, yes. And he's there for us, no matter what we go through. Can I get amen? Look at this right here in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is our consolation now. That is our gift now. That is our chart now that God has coursed in our life. He has set the course for our life that we would walk in faith and all the way into eternity with him. Can I get an amen? So don't count all the mistakes and all the wrong. Well, you know why? Because they're under the blood. The day you wake up every day, just say, God, thank you for another day. Help me to walk by faith this day and to honor and praise you. Listen, I don't care what you did yesterday. That day's gone, long gone. And tomorrow's not even here. So think about what he has given you today. And love him. Just love him. Today it was so simple worship, but yet they took us to a place to be with him. You know, when you close your eyes, you know, things of heaven start appearing, you know, that those that have gone before us, just imagine the glory that's there because they're in the presence of the Lord. And so, I don't know what you all got as far as presents this year and for Christmas. I do know one thing. His presence has never left. Can I get an amen? It's not about, oh, well, how many presents did I get under the tree today? No, be thankful that his presence, hallelujah, is living within us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And there are times where we can't give nobody nothing. But you know what you can give them? Your love. Just love on them. So what if you have an indifference with someone? So what? knowing that where we're going, where we're headed, a place of heavenly bliss, man, that alone lets me know, man, how much can I love you more? Despite of what everyone else may feel, I'm going to continue to love you. Saints, Jesus had every right to refuse, to withdraw, and to hold back. He knew the sacrifice involved and the pain that was coming his way. Yet he laid down his life willingly. Look what it says in Hebrew up here. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So guess what that joy was? You and you and you and you and you. He saw us 2,000 years later that we would be filled with his presence. We would be filled with joy. And so that was his joy, that his death gave us life. Wow. You know, it's simple science when you look at it down here in an earthly sense. You can't grow a tree without planting the seed. You can't get corn unless you put the kernels in the ground. And by faith, you water it, and then it starts sprouting up. Amen? Well, he had to die so that we can live. He went into the ground so that we can live. Can I get amen? What a beautiful thing, isn't it? Listen, also, number three, Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. That tomb wasn't his. A rich man owned that tomb. And how many know who that rich man's name was? Yo, someone knows their Bible. Joseph of Arimathea. Yes. Yes. See, the story of Jesus laying down his life continued as he died on the cross and then was buried. We are told of a secret disciple named Joseph from the town of Arimathea, who came to take the body of Jesus. Look at this right here in scripture. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself also became a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. Praise God. Look at this. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock, and he rolled a large stone against it at the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite of the tomb. Isn't that something? Someone was always taking care of God's business. You know what I love about you guys? You guys are always taking care of God's business. Amen. And one of the things that only, what blows me away is when we come together, like on a Sunday morning, we come to worship him. We come to praise him, to glorify his name. Can I get amen? Saints, the exact information about Jesus' burial highlights the authenticity of the gospel. The gospels are authentic. The disciples knew where Jesus had been buried and were willing to tell anyone who had listening ears that their master had died and was buried in the tomb. Jesus' burial is Joseph's tomb fulfillment and prophecy right up here. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit found in his mouth. Praise God. Look at number four. Jesus rose from the dead on that third day. Now, I want you to catch this, because I truly believe that the seven feasts of the Lord are very, very profound and prophetic. Let's look at this. Remember, we've gone over this before. On Passover, Jesus was buried. The second day was unleavened bread. He had no sin. He who knew no sin became sin, that we would become the righteousness of Christ. So on that second day, he was in the tomb, had no sin. And then on the third day, he was raised again on that third feast, which is called the Feast of First Fruits. He was the first to rise from the dead. So the Jews celebrate this all the time, but they have no inclination of who they're writing about. We do, though, because it's all about Jesus. and pray for them. I used to have these conversations with a rabbi back in the temple. Well, Reverend, I don't see it that way. I said, okay, that's okay, Rabbi. God's going to open up your eyes one day and you will see it. But we never argued. We would have these pleasant debates. And look at this. 50 days later, the Holy Ghost was poured out on Pentecost. So I want you to see that trumpet fall feast. I talked about that. This one coming in 2022. It's a brand new 7-year Shemitah cycle. So could it be? Could it be that the tribulation kicks in? Let's just say it does. Let's just say that is. I'm a pre-trib believer, meaning God's going to take his church before the wrath is poured out. How many believe that we're going to be out of here before the wrath gets poured out? You know why? Because throughout Scripture, it tells us we are not appointed unto wrath. So in other words, God's not going to punish us with the wicked. We're his children. So he's going to make a way. He's going to snatch us out of here. This is why this message is the power of the resurrection. He's going to resurrect us and take us home. Can I get an amen? And so look what Matthew said right here. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." So they came and he was gone. He was not in his tomb. Matter of fact, the Bible says that even his garments were nicely folded. You should ask Jesus to fold your clothes. No, it was nicely folded. It was like, wow, Jesus had class. He was awesome. Even when he was raised. And guess what? He was around and seen for almost 500 days. And he ate in that new body. That brought great joy to me. That new body, we can eat. We can eat. And then we can appear and then disappear. I don't know about you, but throughout my childhood, even in my young adulthood, I used to always have dreams of flying. You ever had dreams of flying? I used to have, man, they were so real. I said, and now as a believer, I go, God, were those prophetic dreams? Where we could just whiz away. Jesus' resurrection means the Lord of history is the King of Kings. His resurrection proves he was who he claimed to be. Jesus' resurrection proves he is to be worshipped and adored. Before him, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And so for us, we have already bowed when we repented of our sins. When we received the Lord Jesus Christ, we confessed him as Lord and Savior. And that great exchange, we gave him a heart of stone. And in return, he gave us a heart of flesh. Wow. That was the great exchange. But look at this. This is in the near future. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name above which is every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and on those on the earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know when it says under the earth, that's where the demons are locked up. They're chained up down in the underground. Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of them in that abyss down there. Did you know that Jesus had to go down there when he died? The Bible talks about that. He went down into hell. And he took back hell, the grave, and the keys. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm telling you, what Jesus did for us, it's mind-blowing. And so look at this, saints. Jesus' resurrection, it gives us hope. The resurrection of Jesus is not intended to be an empty exercise in research. It's not. The resurrection of Jesus has meaning for every person, every day. There's an old hymn. How many of you know who Bill Gaither is? Okay, so that for some of you, that's like way back. But you probably heard this hymn before. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Oh, you know that song, huh? I can't sing, so I won't sing it up here. That's it. Yeah, sister. Yeah, that's it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. That was written by Bill Gaither. These words highlight the future hope we have because of Jesus' resurrection. We can face any uncertainty because we know Jesus lives. Listen, because he lives, I don't care what the trials bring. I don't care what you're going through. Nothing's too hard for God. You know, we may look like things are difficult in my life, and I don't know, but God knows what you're going through, and he'll fix it in his time. Oh, yes, he will. He's faithful to us. And guess what? He's now responsible to us. Why? Because we're his children. We are the children of the Most High God. Not everyone can claim that. He created all humanity, but not all humanity are his kids. Did you catch that? He created all humanity, but not all humanity is his kids. Only the ones that are born again. Praise God. That's why don't give up on those who are not saved. Don't give up on them. Pray for them. I heard some stories where kids, spouse, whatever they could be, at night when they're asleep, and just put a little oil on them and just, oh Lord, do something mighty, God. And then when their eye starts twitching, get out of there. Hey, listen, God gives us the power to pray. Can I get an amen? I used to do that with my dad all the time. He would sometimes lift up, I know that's you, Placido. But praise God. He got saved when he was 80. I baptized him in my jacuzzi. Hallelujah. And God gave him another 11 years. 13 more years to live. Oh my God. And we would have our home, Friday night home fellowship at our living room. And all of a sudden, he was right there in the front. Totally out of beat. But he was just so happy to be there. Hey, listen, don't give up on your loved ones. Come on. Don't never give up on them. It's never too late with God. God, you know what? God loves his creation. I hope you know that. But he loves us because we are his. But he loves them too. And he wants them to be saved. And one day they'll cry out. One day they'll cry out. And when they cry out, you better shout it on the rooftop. Guess what happened? So-and-so got saved. Amen. Who cares if your neighbor thinks you lost your mind? Who cares? Just enjoy the moment. Saints, social unrest. Global pandemics like we're seeing all over the world. Political turmoil. All must bow before the king. We know that. Followers of Christ know he has the whole world in his hands, and we can trust him with our future. How many believe you can trust Jesus with your future? Oh, that's right. Because he told Martha and Mary. He said it best. He said it like this. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? My question is, all of us in here, do you believe that? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And he did just that. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So saints, the resurrection of Jesus means I have hope for this very moment. No sickness, no cancer, no depression, no diabetes, no addiction, no broken relationship can stop what Jesus has done for me by rising from the dead. Can I get an amen? We have hope because Jesus is our Savior and our only hope. Don't give up. Don't give up on nothing. Because God's going to see us through. Amen? And so, the resurrection, when he comes back for us, is going to be done through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to quicken us. And we're gonna shed this body of flesh by the power of God. How many can't wait for that moment? I can't wait. Listen, we can all honestly say so far, we've been there, done that, right? In things of life. And so, for me, 63 now, I've been there, done that. I must have seen everything that maybe God wants me to see. So for me, I'm further along than a lot of you. And I'm saying, oh God, if you were to take me now, my life has been satisfied by you. And you have fulfilled all things in my life. You've given me everything I ever wanted. And there's nothing for me to leave behind or to be sorrowful for. Can I get an amen? Because we love God. And so, the resurrection is through the Holy Ghost. And look what it says right here. I quoted this scripture. Here it is right here. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall. Notice it says you shall. It didn't say maybe. It didn't say you might. It didn't say wait for my email. Or I'll text you. No, it happens immediately. Listen, when a soul repents and cries out to God, immediately God, hallelujah, touches your life right then and there. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was never the same. Never the same. And this is why I love doing what I'm doing, teaching, preaching, serving you. Because I love God, what he's done in my life. And there's nothing I can pay him back. We can't pay God back, nothing. But what we can do is love him. And this is a way of me loving him, is serving you. Because I love the Lord. And this is the call of my life. So when God has a call in your life, go fulfill it. Run with it. Just run. Take your cross and run with it and say, God, thank you. I have a place in your kingdom. And he has a beautiful place for us. Amen? Look at this. From death to life by the Holy Ghost himself. Because it's clear. Look at this. It's clear. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We get that. But look at this. Look what Paul wrote in Ephesians as we're coming in for a close. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. That means there had to be a substitute. So in the Old Testament, it was the bulls and goats and the turtle doves that the Jews had to bring up annually. Jesus became our final sacrifice. That's what propitiation means, by his blood. So he shed his blood, and not an animal, but his own blood. Wow. Through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, meaning his foreknowledge, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Listen, before you got saved, how many can say that, man, I used to sin with the best of them? I used to like to say, man, I was one of those chief sinners that Paul talked about. But look what God did. In this passage of scripture, he passed over our sins to cover us with his blood. What? When you get a hold of that, when you get a hold that, man, I don't deserve this great salvation, but yet he chose to pass over our sins to cover us in his blood, that we would have eternal life. Isn't that something? And guess what? Tomorrow, tonight, we're still gonna sin. Oh yes, we may not intentionally do it, but we may just make a mistake. We may think of something stupid. we may think of something that's irrelevant, you know, just maybe sometimes gross. And yet he died for that. It's under his blood. That's why when we wake up, oh God, cleanse me, wash me, forgive me if I've sinned. Clear my thoughts for the day. Let me do what you've called me to do. It's a continual, ongoing relationship with him. That's beautiful, isn't it? He did it for us. He did it for you and I. And so, look at this. In verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And that's us. Number 8, we can all experience resurrection in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, this is how God's going to do it. This is how God's going to do it. And this verse of scripture right here, look at this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. I need you to catch this. When we are born again, we are now filled with his spirit. Okay? It's sealed. It's forever ours. God's not there's an old saying when I was a kid. You know what? You know how you gave something to one of your little friends and now you want to take it back. Indian giver. Oh, I'm glad you said it and not me. Okay. Well, here's the good news. God doesn't do that with us. Can I get amen? Amen. I got some scripture to back that up. I'm going to get there and we're going to close. But look at how he's going to resurrect us. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So in other words, because we're born again, we are now imputed Christ's righteousness. So the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is going to raise us up from these dead mortal bodies. Can I get amen? The same Holy Ghost power that raised up Jesus is going to raise us up. My goodness. And never fear what the enemy may try to come and blackmail you and try to lie to you. Well, you haven't resolved that issue, and I heard you say this, and I heard you say that. You got to rebuke the devil when you have to rebuke him. Can I get amen? Bind the enemy, because he wants to bring a spirit of confusion. He wants you to second doubt God, and we're not to second doubt. We got to believe what's written and then embrace it and walk with it, right? So look at this. When we get filled with the Spirit of God. Let me finish this verse. It's very important. And then we're going to go there. But look what verse 11 says. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Look at this. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So there is the key. The Holy Spirit living in us is going to raise us up. Okay, now, don't let the enemy dupe you, because this scripture will stamp out any negative thing that maybe an organization told you, maybe someone else told you, a full-on Arminianist. You know what Arminians are? They believe that as soon as you think of a sin, you're cast into hell. So you got to walk on eggshells. Forget about that. Right here. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise and glory of God. Look at that. We are sealed until he comes back for us. So don't let the enemy accuse you of anything. Can I get amen? Because we are Christ and Christ alone. Praise God. Praise God. And we look for the final resurrection. Amen. Amen. And it's the same spirit that raised Jesus will raise us also. Praise God. Praise God. And I always, if you hear me on Wednesday nights, I use this scripture and then we're going to close. But I always use this scripture because guess what? It's going to be the next greatest event the world has ever seen. How many can't wait for the greatest next event? It's right here. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We talked about that. Nor does corruption, this body, it's corrupt. That's why you have to hopefully take a bath once a day, amen? It's corrupt. Oh yeah, you go 3 days, don't sit by nobody. It's corrupt. This flesh cannot be saved. It doesn't live forever. So look at this. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Sleep in the Greek meaning we shall not all die and go to the grave. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last shofar blast, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall what? Be changed. Look at this. For this corruptible, this body, must put on incorruption. That means we're going to have a body that has no sin in it. And this mortal, now we are mortal. What does that mean? That means we have a time limit that we're living here on earth. We don't know how long God gives us. My dad, I shared with you, 96 years. Praise God. My mom only 62. We don't know how long we're going to be here on this earth. So that makes us mortal. That means we're going to die one day and we don't know. But look at this. And this mortal must put on immortality. Meaning this body of flesh is going to put on the new body that will never die. That's what immortality means. So when this corruptible, this body of flesh, has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have hope of rising to be with him in the final resurrection. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that we have hope. We thank you, God, that you have called us to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Lord, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to your will and purpose. And Lord, we need to be reminded of your glory. We need to be reminded that whatever we're facing through the trials of life, it doesn't last forever. You see us through many battles of life. You see us through many trials. Many of us have conflicts and situations of life only you can resolve. And we trust you this day. I'm praying for those right now who are listening that maybe never received you as Lord and Savior. And maybe you're going through something very trying, very hard, to the point where you're saying, this is not fair. And trials are not fair, but they're allowed by God that we as believers can learn, that we would acquire wisdom and understanding and knowledge and compassion, and that we could learn to love one another like you have loved us. We know we're never going to be perfect, but we're working to perfection, for you are the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm praying for those who never received the Lord Jesus. If that's you and you're logged in right now and you've never given your heart to Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here this morning to pray for you and with you, that you would receive God in a mighty way, that you would hear His still small voice, that you would cry out and say, "Oh God, I'm going through so much in my life right now, but I'm believing the preacher right now that you can help me, you can save me." My friend, is that you? Bow your heart and your head with me. Cry out to God and let God be God. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to come into my heart. Forgive me for every sin that I've ever committed. Wash me in your blood. Make me brand new, oh God, by faith. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the